suffering.
Regarding chemical, biological weapons, we've seen reports that Israel's potentially been using white phosphorus in the last days, and we know they did in 2009. I mean, what does that do to someone whose body, whose brain is still developing?
Oh, the effect that it would have on, like entire generations are going to suffer immeasurable consequences to their immune system, endocrine system, their neurological system. This is all very calculated, mind you. None of it is by accident. It's all very, very calculated and by design. These endocrine disruptors will affect fertility. When I was there in 2014, I saw children born with ambiguous genitalia, with all kinds of cancers. This is affecting so much more than just, you know, what you see on the surface. This is a very generational thing designed to destroy generation after generation after generation, all very calculated, and none of it by accident or just to create destruction on a large scale. It's designed to create destruction for generations to come, even in unborn children, if you will. So it's incomprehensible.
So, you know, Dina, lastly, we've seen a massive general strike all across Palestine, perhaps the biggest in Palestinian history. I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Does it make you feel hopeful at all?
I think this is a monumental time in history. We're going to look back, and when people ask, where were you when this or that happened? Were you standing on the right side? Were you standing on the side of the oppressed? Did you choose to make a conscious effort to speak up even when it wasn't as popular or when, you know, wasn't good for your career or what have you? I do have hope. I will always have hope as a Palestinian. I think a lot more needs to be done. We need to see more than lip service. We need more than what's being done, because I feel like this world continues to fail Palestine in every conceivable way, but I do have hope.
Communique is a program in which Richard Medhurst, the independent journalist and political commentator, gives his views of controversial issues of our time and interviews famous politicians and personalities. This program is broadcast every Sunday by IRIB English Radio.
Reacting to Israel's latest attacks on Gaza, the response from the majority of Western governments is just as you'd expect. Lackluster at best, and at worst, a complete whitewashing of Israeli crimes. Some European countries thought that it would be a wise idea to take a side, and of course they decided to pander to the Israeli lobby. Czech President Zeman ordered that an Israeli flag be raised over Prague Castle in a show of solidarity with the Israeli occupation, or as most would correctly put it, in a show of hostility to the Palestinians. The Austrian Chancellor, Sebastian Kurz, also decided to fly the Israeli flag, which was raised over the Chancellery building in the capital, Vienna. Now, to say this was done in extremely poor taste is an understatement. Austria is a neutral country, at least officially, and Vienna has long boasted to be the world's capital of international diplomacy. It's home to one of the United Nations headquarters, the International Atomic Energy Agency, and many other international organizations. And this isn't just about violating supposed neutrality, but this move shows that the Austrian and Czech governments to be on the side of the Israeli occupation, on the side of the oppressors. The United Kingdom's Foreign Minister Dominic Raab condemned Hamas firing rockets at Israel, but of course said nothing of Israel's bombardment of Gaza, which has killed hundreds. This was followed up by a readout from the White House regarding U.S. President Joe Biden's call with Netanyahu, in which Biden reaffirmed Israel's, quote, right to defend itself, whatever that means. Joining me is Jennifer Levenstein. She's a freelance journalist, human rights activist, professor of Middle East Studies, and also works with Eyewitness Palestine. Thank you for taking the time, Jennifer. It's great to have you on.
Thank you for having me.
So, Jennifer, I want to start out with the Biden administration's response to what's happening now in Gaza. What are your thoughts on what Jen Psaki, the White House spokesperson, said Secretary of State Blinken. I mean, what did you think of their assessment and response to what Israel is doing right now in Palestine?
I think their responses have been absolutely criminal. And I don't honestly know if they are criminal intentionally or whether these two people are just incredibly ignorant. When you hear the President of the United States saying that the aggressor in a conflict has the right to self-defense, there's something very, very wrong with that response. The aggressor in any military situation is not the one defending itself. So I've been very disappointed both with his response and also with Secretary of State Antony Blinken's response, who said yesterday that there was no equivalence between the Hamas organization and Israel, and said that Israel had the right to self-defense. So once again, he's got it completely backwards.
Okay, so I mean, what do you say to people who would respond that basically, you know, Palestinians, that Hamas, they're the ones who started everything, and that basically they're responsible for any civilian casualties? I mean, what do you respond to people who say that?
I would say that if they're looking at a situation in a very, very short-term setting, that they can possibly come away with that view. But even if they take into consideration the events of the last 2 weeks, Israel is the aggressor. Israel went into the Al-Aqsa Mosque and beat up worshipers during the holiest holiday for Muslims. Israel is expelling citizens from the neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah. Israel is the one who's backing up Jewish settlers who are running around in East Jerusalem and elsewhere saying death to Arabs, and we're burning Arabs today. Israel is the one that is causing displacement, dispossession, home demolitions, you name it. That is the aggressor. That's not somebody defending itself. The responses to these actions by Israel are resistance. Resistance is legal under international law in whatever form the resistors wish to take.
So, I mean, speaking of international law, at the United Nations Security Council, just in the past week, the United States 3 times blocked a statement which called for a ceasefire. Everyone else in the UN Security Council was in favor of it. But the United States blocked it because of language that would have condemned Israel's actions. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I call the veto power in the United Nations Security Council, I call it the tyranny of the veto, because, of course, pretty much world public opinion is on the side of the Palestinians right now. It's a very, very small percentage of people who actually support what Israel is doing. For the United States to block any language supporting a ceasefire is a form of tyranny. And it's also, once again, it's criminally sadistic, in my view. We're talking about an action right now that has led to the deaths of 213 people in the Gaza Strip, 61 of them children, 35 approximately of women. More children have died in Gaza than Hamas fighters. There is something terribly wrong with that. It's all completely against international law because the Gaza Strip is illegally occupied by Israel. That's as plain and as clear as day for anyone who wishes to read international law.
So, I mean, what does that say when, in the middle of all this, the Biden administration, they just approved a new weapons sale to Israel worth $735 million just on Monday, May 17th?
It's my understanding is that it was approved slightly earlier than that. That doesn't change the fact that they are approving more military aid to Israel on top of $3.8 billion of aid every year. And it is in direct contravention of what is called the Leahy Law in the U.S. Congress, which says that it's illegal to give military aid to any country using it to violate the human rights and the civil rights of another people. And of course, this aid is not only violating people's rights, it's murdering them outright.
You know, I think it's extremely sobering what you just said, that more children have died than Hamas fighters. I mean, this is astonishing.
14 families have been wiped out in the Gaza Strip in the last week. 14 entire families. They'll no longer appear on the civil record. That is hard for anyone to imagine, but it is just, it's indescribable to imagine that many people, that many family units just disappearing under the rubble of a bombardment that is so completely illegal and so aggressive, such as it's a crime of evil. I can't think of another word for it.
And just lastly, I wanted to ask you what your thoughts are on the motivations behind this, on the Likud party. I mean, do you think that perhaps this is something to do with what's happening internally in Israel with Netanyahu? Do you think there's some ulterior motive that's going on here and not just Hamas, like they claimed?
I do. I think there are two parallel things happening right now. I think the greater goal of Israel is for a greater Israel. It is to have a nation that has no Palestinians in it. It is to isolate Palestinians on the West Bank into 165 disconnected enclaves. That is without doubt. It's a form of ethnic cleansing. Some people have actually started to call this a genocide. At the same time, Netanyahu will do absolutely anything to stay in power, to avoid going to prison. He's a corrupt politician. He's an unethical politician. And, you know, the words to describe somebody like him who is so utterly criminal and without any conscience whatsoever. I mean, he's psychopathic. And his actions, I think, display this. He doesn't care about the deaths of people in the Gaza Strip or the West Bank, or for that matter, in Israel. He doesn't care. He cares about power. And that is something that we should all be very sober about when analyzing this situation.
As Israel continues to bomb Gaza, protests in support of Palestine have erupted all across the world. In London alone, an impressive 100,000 people took to the streets in a show of solidarity. Protesters marched onto the Israeli embassy in London, demanding an end to the Israeli violence, chanting, "Free Palestine," and "Israel is a terror state." A petition on the British government's own website calling on the UK to impose sanctions on Israel received over 300,000 signatures. This means the matter could potentially be raised and discussed in the House of Commons, as the British Parliament usually considers bringing up petitions for debate if they reach a minimum of 100,000 signatures. In France, several protests were held across many cities in support of Palestine. However, a large gathering that was planned in Paris was banned. People still showed up regardless to express their support, but were met with water cannons and tear gas from the French police. In Lebanon and Jordan, dozens of people went to their respective borders with occupied Palestine in an attempt to storm them and cross over. And in another remarkable show of solidarity, Italian dock workers at the port of Livorno refused to load weapons and explosives that were headed for the Israeli occupation, stating that they would not be an accomplice in the massacre of the Palestinian people. All around the world, people continued to show support for Palestine with large protests in several cities across Canada, Germany, and cities all across the world, such as Warsaw, New York, Cape Town, Madrid, Sydney, and many more. Popular support for Palestine is real. It is widespread. It is international, and it is powerful. And although many governments do not reflect the will of their people, the average person does know right from wrong. And they're starting to see through the whitewashing of Israeli crimes and apartheid. It is undeniable that public opinion is shifting, and it's shifting in the right direction. It's shifting in support for Palestine. On May 18th, 2021, a general strike was held to protest Israel's crimes in Palestine, and participation was at record levels, with millions of Palestinians taking part from the West Bank to Gaza to Jerusalem to Haifa, Ramallah, Bethlehem, and many more. Shops were closed, people took to the streets, and they marched in protest of Israel's ruthless bombings, of their plans to evict people in Sheikh Jarrah, and all of the occupation in its entirety. Once again, the death toll in Gaza speaks for itself. The bombed out hospitals, clinics, schools, shelters, roads speak for themselves. What Israel is doing is not just horrific, it is evil. No sane or rational person can look at this and call this defense. This is not defense. This is offense. This is aggression. This is a violent, calculated destruction of public infrastructure. It's a massacring of the Palestinian people. Almost one third of the casualties are children. Are they also Hamas fighters? Israel has 10 casualties versus hundreds on the Palestinian side. You cannot inflict 10 times, 20 times more casualties on someone smaller and weaker than you and then pretend that you are the victim. And we constantly hear that Israel has the right to defend itself. Really? What about Palestinians? Palestinians don't have the right to defend themselves when they are being massacred. Palestinians don't have the right to defend themselves from Israeli bombs. Palestinians don't have the right to defend themselves from Israeli occupation. You want us to believe that Palestinians are a threat when they don't even have an air force, a navy, or any conventional armed forces? Israel kills 10 times more people. Israel drops bombs on hospitals, roads, schools. It kills journalists, medics. It levels the buildings of the international press. And you want us to believe that that's defensive and that Palestinians are the problem? You cannot talk about defense when you are in a position of power and you are the aggressor, when you are occupying and colonizing someone else's land. Israel is not a victim, nor is it acting out of self-defense. The Israelis are colonizers. It is the Palestinians who are defending themselves. The Palestinians are resisting Israeli occupation. They're defending themselves and their land from colonizers. This is why Israel tries so hard to smear those who expose its crimes, to character assassinate them, and shift the conversation away from its ethnic cleansing of Palestine and its brutal military occupation, and make it about personal smears. The Israeli lobby spends an awful lot of time and energy waging war against those critical of the Zionist regime. The mainstream media is more than happy to cover for them, and this is why we cannot allow what is happening in Gaza, what has been happening in Palestine for the last 73 years, to be whitewashed and erased by them. Despite the overwhelming support and backing of the West for Israel, people must never be afraid to document Israel's crimes and to expose the true nature of the Zionist regime. The support for Palestine is fundamentally rooted in the defense of human rights, in anti-imperialism, anti-racism, and their cause is a just and noble one. Palestinians need all the support they can get, and we will give it to them. Thanks for tuning in, and long live the resistance. I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsetodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsetodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
Major arms and aircraft manufacturers Boeing, Lockheed Martin, and Raytheon are reaping massive profits from Israeli regime's assault on Gaza, and all are expected to see their earnings boom with a $250 million arms deal the Biden administration is trying to push through, says Jessica Boxbaum Ryder in an article titled American arms makers are making a killing off of the Israeli regime's slaughter in Gaza. Stay tuned for more. According to the Israeli Air Force, IAF, on Wednesday night, May 19th, the Israeli regime fired 120 missiles in the span of 25 minutes. The most recent attack hit the city of Khan Yunus in Gaza, killing one and injuring eight. The Israeli regime forces could not provide an exact number of how many bombs are being dropped on Gaza per hour. the IAF did not respond to press inquiries. The Times of Gaza, however, reported that more than 100 airstrikes occurred in a 30-minute period on May 14th. Amid the rubble, Palestinians in Gaza have found unexploded missiles with writing indicating these bombs were manufactured in the U.S. The use of American-made weaponry in the Israeli regime's latest assault on Gaza is renewing discussions on U.S. foreign assistance to the fake regime of Israel and U.S. complicity in Israeli regime violence. On his Twitter page, Mohammad Shahad, a Gazan writer and analyst manager at Euro-Mediterranean Human Rights Monitor, wrote, "The Israeli regime struck the Al Jala Tower, which housed the Associated Press Bureau and Al Jazeera offices, with a GBU-31 bomb recently. The Zionist regime has also used GBU-39 small diameter and Mark 84 bombs in its current onslaught. The GBU-31 and GBU-39 bombs are made by Boeing, and the Mark 84 bombs are produced by General Dynamics. Both missiles are manufactured in the United States of America." Several posts on Twitter report F-15, F-16, and F-35 fighter jets have also been hovering over Gaza. And for further verification, the IAF's website boasts these three warplanes are part of its arsenal. Boeing makes the F-15 fighter jets and Lockheed Martin manufactures F-16 and F-35 warplanes. But these are not the only corporations involved in the production of Israeli regime's military aircraft. General Electric produces the engines for F-15 and F-16 jets. Raytheon Technologies creates the missiles used to arm F-15 and F-35 planes. According to the American Friends Service Committee's investigative database, Northrop Grumman manufactures approximately 35% of the Lockheed Martin F-35 aircraft, including its center, fuselage, radar, avionics, electro-optics, navigation, communications and identification subsystems, and mission systems and mission planning software. The arms manufacturer has also partnered with Israeli regime military industry to build the listening targeting pod, a weapons laser navigation system used on F-16 warplanes. Military sales to the Zionist regime generate massive profits for these American corporations. Boeing secured a $2.4 billion sale to the Israeli regime from the U.S. State Department last year. In February, the aerospace behemoth scored a whopping $9 billion deal with the Zionist regime's Ministry of War. In the last decade, Raytheon's contracts to the Zionist regime have totaled more than $4 billion. Lockheed Martin's most recent sale to the Zionist regime is estimated at more than $2 billion. In 2016, General Electric obtained part of a $300 million sale to the Zionist regime. Northrop Grumman is less transparent about its international sales. Out of Northrop Grumman's reported $36.8 billion in sales in 2020, 14% were international. These companies did not respond to requests for comment from Mint Press News. despite calling for de-escalation, President Joe Biden's administration is going ahead with a $735 million weapons deal with the Zionist regime. The major arms and aircraft manufacturers, including Boeing, Lockheed Martin, and Raytheon Technologies, are all expected to see their earnings boom with the pending sale. Boeing is predicted primary beneficiary of the deal, given the sale is of its joint direct attack munitions. The Zionist regime receives $3.8 billion in foreign military assistance annually from the U.S., of which the Israeli regime must spend 75% on American-made weaponry under an agreement between the two regimes. The recent $735 million sale came out of that yearly aid, according to Danaka Katowicz, West Asia coordinator at the women-led anti-war organization Code Pink. Katowicz from Code Pink pointed out that these arms deals are not the only way the U.S. and Israeli regimes work together in a capacity. The U.S. and Israeli regime have had a strong military alliance since the Nakba, Katowicz said, referring to the Israeli regime's ethnic cleansing campaign of Palestine in 1947 and 1948, known as the Nakba or Catastrophe in Arabic. Israeli regime and the U.S. do joint military exercises together, and they often work together to develop systems and weapons as well, he added. Katowicz also alluded to reports addressing how the U.S. National Security Agency provides the Zionist regime with unfiltered intelligence, including data of American citizens. Katowicz said forces in the U.S. pro-Israel lobby are tremendously influential in fostering the continued military alliance between the two regimes.
Around the world with reporters.
South Korea's betting big on semiconductors, with the country's tech giants investing billions of dollars in new plants and the government providing tax breaks. South Korean President Moon Jae-in celebrated construction of new facilities last week.
Our companies are taking a further leap. Over the next decade, Korean chipmakers will invest over 510 trillion won, or 450 billion U.S. dollars. Samsung Electronics will construct large-scale production lines for memory semiconductors and system semiconductors at its factories in Pyeongtaek and Hwaseong. And SK Hynix will establish a large-scale production base in Yongin.
This year, a shortage of semiconductors caused production delays and suspensions worldwide. Even South Korea's major car manufacturers Hyundai and Kia had to shut down periodically for lack of the key component.
South Korea produces about 20% of the world's semiconductors. The industry also plays a very important role in the South Korean economy, accounting for 20% of the country's exports. And recently, the price of semiconductors has been quite high, increasing profitability.
Samsung is South Korea's largest company and number one semiconductor producer. But its de facto chief, Lee Jae-young, is in jail, creating a degree of uncertainty amid the massive investment plans. Samsung's Lee Jae-young is scheduled to complete his 2.5-year prison term in July 2022 for bribing South Korea's former president. But calls are growing in many sectors, including almost two-thirds of the general public, according to a recent survey, for Lee to receive a presidential pardon, considering his company's importance to the South Korean economy. Samsung is also reportedly planning to construct another U.S. plant with a $17 billion investment. President Moon this week visits the U.S. as American officials seek to reduce tech dependence on China. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Palestinians have taken to the streets across the Gaza Strip after a ceasefire between Gaza and Israel went into effect Friday at 2 a.m. local time.
This is a joyful moment for all Gaza. This is the victory for Ramadan, the Eid, and Jerusalem. We will return all the occupied lands, all the cities. If they call us, we will be the first to be with them.
We were watching the media outlets. The victory of the resistance is the victory for all the Muslims. The Palestinian resistance returned the dignity for all Muslims.
People in the occupied West Bank also hit the streets shouting slogans in support of people in Gaza and Palestinian resistance groups. Similar celebrations were held in several other cities around the world. People rallied in the Jordanian border town of Soymeh to celebrate the Palestinians' victory in the conflict. A car convoy drove through the streets of the Iranian capital, Tehran, in solidarity with Palestinians. Thousands marched in support of the Palestinians across Pakistan and denounced Israel's attacks on the people in the Gaza Strip and the occupied West Bank. The ceasefire was brokered and is being monitored by Egypt, which has in the past been involved in intermediary efforts between the two sides. The truce put an end to 11 days of attacks that killed scores of people in the Gaza Strip, including women and children. This wasn't the first time the besieged territory came under Israeli fire, but this time Palestinians turned the tables against the regime and launched unprecedented rocket and drone attacks on Israeli cities, inflicting damage and casualties on the enemy. The resistance groups have described the latest flare-up as a point of departure in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
I announce this great victory that our fearless resistance has achieved. It is a divine, strategic, and composed victory during this phase of the struggle with the Zionist enemy. They hit the enemy with a painful and severe strike, which will leave deep marks on this entity, its society, military, security, and political institutions, as well as on its future in the Holy Lands of Jerusalem.
Our fighters were able, through rockets, mortars, and cornet shells, to turn enemy cities and sites into an unfit place for life. We thank the Islamic Republic of Iran, which supported the resistance.
In the meantime, several Israeli political and military figures have questioned Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's motives for launching the offensive on the Gaza Strip and approving a ceasefire without any preconditions or a strategic breakthrough for the regime. Netanyahu's political opponents speculate that the premier ordered the strikes after he failed to establish a coalition cabinet to put an end to Israel's political stalemate. But the developments over the past 2 weeks have shown that the next time the regime ventures an offensive against Gaza, it could face consequences more serious than a political vacuum in Tel Aviv.
Anti-Israel sermons were delivered in Islamic schools across Pakistan. Tens of thousands of people came on the streets alone in Islamabad to voice their support for the Palestinian people. There were similar rallies in other major urban centers to protest over Israel's latest round of nearly 2 weeks long attacks on the Gaza Strip, which left scores of Palestinians dead, many of them women and children. Officially, Pakistan observed the Friday as a Palestinian day to express solidarity with the innocent Palestinians. On the streets, people in Pakistan rage with anger like elsewhere in the Muslim world since Israel attacked and desecrated Islam's third holiest mosque after forcible eviction of Palestinian residents in eastern Jerusalem, Al-Quds, and subsequent unilateral war it imposed on Gaza.
I want for government, he declared jihad. There is the only one solution to liberate Palestinian. It's only way jihad.
The disappointment and feeling of hopelessness among people against Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or the OIC, are growing to a tipping point. No longer people in Pakistan seem to be taking 57-member bloc of Muslim countries as their genuine representative body. People in this protest believe that OIC's inaction has emboldened Israel's aggression upon unarmed Palestinians. Therefore, they want Pakistan and other willing Muslim countries for a joint military action against Israel. This demand was partially echoed during a recently held conference of foreign ministers of OIC, where some of the non-Arab states proposed to set up an international force of protection to prevent similar aggression by Israel in future. Not everywhere in Pakistan, the pro-Palestinian rallies were safe. At least six were killed and over a dozen others were injured after a bomb attack hit a rally in Chaman, southwest of Pakistan. Many suspect pro-Israel terrorist group behind the terror attack.
They want to prevent Pakistani public to attend these rallies. These elements, they fear that if Pakistani public attend these rallies, Pakistani government will get under pressure and they will definitely do something against Israel.
Anti-Israel sentiments run high in Pakistan, given the regime's policy of systematically killing innocent Palestinians and evicting them from their homes over the course of decades. Javed Rana, Islamabad.
Supporters of Palestinians who struggle for their rights and justice gathered in front of the headquarters and branches of RAI, the Italian national broadcaster, to protest against what they call biased coverage of the ongoing conflict between Israel and Palestine. The demonstration took place in several cities, including Rome, Milan, and Naples. Protesters shouting "Shame" and "Israel go away" accused the national broadcaster of misrepresenting the complexity of the latest Israeli war on the Gaza Strip, as well as ridiculing the truth.
The reports on the Israeli-Palestine conflict that RAI TV has been airing were not up to the standards one would expect from a public broadcaster. Italian people have been clever enough to understand the truth. It's no coincidence that pro-Palestine demonstrations were held in 25 cities across the country. The reports never mentioned the Israeli occupation, never once.
People attending Rome's demonstration said the Italian media outlets faced no ethical dilemmas when it came to not reporting on the Israelis who were trying to steal Palestinians' houses in Sheikh Jarrah in Jerusalem or Quds.
Italian mainstream media generally covers Palestinians when they are either protesting or physically confronting Israeli aggression, with the outcry broadly described as escalation of violence. Quite the contrary when it comes to describing Israel's increasing night raids on Palestinian homes and attacks by Israeli settlers on Palestinian farmers. Italian media hardly refers to an escalation of violence.
Last Saturday, thousands of people flooded the central square in the Italian capital to show their support to the Palestinians, but no mainstream media outlets bothered to cover the demonstration.
The media didn't elaborate on what was happening in Italy. They showed, you know, London, New York, other places in the world, and they didn't really focus on all of Italy was protesting against this occupation.
In 2002, an Italian journalist was killed by an Israeli attack in Ramallah. 9 years later, another journalist was killed in the Gaza Strip. I think the public broadcaster should honor the memory of these two men by reporting on the Palestinian plight in an unbiased manner. As usual, supranational, political, and economic interests are prioritized over objective reporting.
A national demonstration dubbed Stop the Israeli Occupation will be held in Rome on Saturday, May 29. Thousands of Italians are expected to join the rally from all over the country. Max Civili, Rome.
Bishop Talbot Swan, a highly respected civil rights activist, expressed the sympathy and solidarity among the African American community for the Palestinians as outrage over Israel's actions has continued to grow.
If any people should resonate with what's going on in Palestine, it's black people in America. Even when we look at what's happening on the streets in our nation, many police departments across America actually go to Israel to be trained by the military in so-called counterterrorism strategies. And then they come here into black communities and employ those strategies on black citizens. So we fully understand their struggle. It resonates with us, and we stand in solidarity with the Palestinian people.
For many, the fact the U.S. government funds Israel while reparations owed to black Americans have yet to be paid is hypocritical.
They can find nearly $4 billion a year to give to Israel, but they can't find any money to give to African Americans who descended from enslaved Africans. It's a travesty. It's a shame. And we're not asking for a handout. We're not asking for you to do us a favor. That's money that is owed. That's a debt that the United States has yet to pay.
Like many faith leaders, Bishop Swan reiterated his continued support for the Palestinians in the face of racist apartheid.
Oppressed people all over the world are watching what's happening. We are standing in solidarity with you. We are pushing and pressing for governmental structures to condemn the violence, to stop the funding of terrorism, because that's exactly what it is. And we want them to remain steadfast, to be strong, and to know that we are behind them.
The demands for the U.S. to stop funding Palestinian oppression and to implement justice for black America will continue as long as the status quo remains in place.
Support for the Palestinians has undoubtedly intensified, with millions of people around the world condemning Israel, demanding an end to the occupation of Palestine. Richard Sudam, London.
A ceasefire took hold on Friday in the Gaza Strip as Israel and Hamas agreed to halt nearly 2 weeks of fighting that left hundreds dead and parts of the impoverished Gaza Strip destroyed. There were no reports of violations early Friday, though each side said it stood ready to retaliate for any attacks by the other.
After the ceasefire, I am sending words of thanks and appreciation for the Palestinian resistance and for the countries who supported Palestinians with both money and weapons, especially the Islamic Republic of Iran that offered everything and stood with Palestinians to a great extent.
Palestinians in the Gaza Strip took to the streets and held celebrations of their victory, embracing one another in front of bombed buildings. Palestinians in Gaza could not mark Eid al-Fitr festival at Ramadan conclusion due to the Israeli airstrikes. On Friday, postponed Eid celebrations were held throughout Gaza.
This is a celebration of our victory. We celebrate winning and teaching the inhumane Israeli regime a lesson that we won't remain silent over its crimes, even if it costs us everything, even our children and homes. This is the road of our resistance till Palestine is free.
We spent days of Ramadan waiting for aid, and then this escalation started, but we all supported Al-Aqsa and Sheikh Jarrah in Jerusalem. Gazans did all of this to support Palestinians in Jerusalem. We didn't count on any other country. We supported each other and defended Al-Aqsa.
More than 10 days of attacks killed at least 240 Palestinians in Gaza, including 66 children, wounded more than 1,900, and damaged critical infrastructure and thousands of homes, according to officials. The clashes began when the Israeli regime attacked worshippers in Al-Aqsa Mosque and started its eviction plans of Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in East Jerusalem.
We are all here now in high spirits. We have witnessed three wars, and today Gaza didn't give up defending Palestinians. We are glad of this victory, and we appreciate the efforts of our resistance that did everything to support us and defend our rights.
After days of Israeli strikes, people are here celebrating their victory, stressing to support the Palestinian resistance in the face of the Israeli violations of Palestinian rights. Ruba Shabet, Gaza.
In Lebanon, support for Palestine has overcome even internal crises, with more people rallying to show support. The Palestinian Resistance Hamas representative in Lebanon told Press TV, Palestinian Resistance has the advanced capabilities to deter the Israeli aggression. for an unrestricted period of time.
We have reached a new phase in the conflict with the Zionist enemy, since the enemy is in a state of crisis, facing the blows of the resistance. The resistance in Palestine is part of the entire resistance front. The enemy has realized that if it launches an assault on any group, the entire front will come forward to give a due response. For now, the Palestinian resistance has declared that it has the capabilities to face this occupation for a long period of time with hundreds or even thousands of rockets.
A Hezbollah member of parliament at the rally said it is an Islamic duty for all Muslims, as it is for Palestinians, to liberate Palestine.
The Palestinian cause is not only for Arabs, it's also for all Muslims. When a nation is involved in a conflict, all other nations step into the fray to stand against the joint enemy. Our slogan is that Al-Quds victory is closer today more than ever.
Despite the heinous Israeli crimes, Palestinian people's intense uprising and resistance remain unabated. Observers believe that that in itself will weaken the Israeli army.
We cannot describe with words the heroic endeavor of the Palestinian people. We can only salute the great Palestinians and their martyrs. We also salute all those who have stood with them in the most difficult circumstances. A salute to the Islamic Republic of Iran, since it weren't for Iran, the entire region would have a different fate. The 2006 war in Lebanon destroyed the first pillar of the occupation regime, and today in Palestine, the second pillar has already fallen.
Hundreds of Lebanese and Palestinians are holding protests on a daily basis across the country to show that they are ready to give more direct assistance to Palestine if need be.
We are ready to put all our efforts in assisting the oppressed people in Palestine, and that is our duty to give that assistance for the sake of righteousness against our unjust enemy.
The Palestinian-Israeli conflict has always been inseparable from the Lebanese-Israeli conflict. Today, even Lebanese activists in solidarity with Palestine's uprising in the face of Israeli aggression say the Lebanese resistance should give direct backing to the Palestinian resistance whenever there is a need, anytime in the future. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
A fourth round of talks to revive the Iran nuclear deal, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the JCPOA, concludes in Vienna, with delegations headed back home for further consultations. EU coordinator Enrico Mora said there'd been substantial progress in the past 10 days, but there were still issues that needed to be worked on. Mora said he believed an agreement was possible before Iran's presidential elections next month.
I will not venture a date because you never know, but I'm quite sure that there will be a final agreement, yeah, not far from here.
Iranian lead delegate Deputy Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi said the issues that needed resolution were difficult.
Some delegations believe that the next round could be the last round. I cannot say that indefinitely, but because we are not there, we are still not there. But I think that if the other side, especially the U.S. side, can make the difficult decisions, we might be able to come to the conclusion next time we meet here in Vienna.
Araghchi said Iran is standing firm on its position that the U.S. needs to fully lift all sanctions in a verifiable manner before Tehran can take action to come back to full compliance with the JCPOA. Reports indicate that though the U.S. has agreed to ease sanctions on various sectors like energy, banking, shipping, and insurance, there are still differences on sanctioned individuals and entities, including Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, the IRGC. Questions have also been lingering on the fate of Iran's advanced centrifuges and whether the U.S. sanctions will be fully removed or temporarily eased. The sides have decided to meet again next week. Homa Lizgi, Vienna.
Protesters have staged a sit-in in Imam Hussein Square of Tehran to show anger at the brutalities of the Israeli regime in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank.
This year, due to the corona pandemic, we couldn't stage rallies on Quds International Day. So today we are here to support Palestinians and condemn the atrocities of the Zionist regime against them.
Whenever a crime happens in the world, the international bodies release statements and slam it. But they are silent about the brutal acts of Israel in Gaza. I'm here to show solidarity with Palestinians and tell them that they are not alone.
It is our duty to participate in such events. Since the Islamic Revolution, we have participated in all these demonstrations, and right now we are here to support the innocent women and children of Gaza and Palestine.
Waving the flags of Palestine and the resistance movement, they chanted slogans against the global arrogance and the Israeli regime, which has recently begun a new wave of attacks on the besieged Gaza. In their slogans, the demonstrators also announced that they stand with Palestinians and their cause until they achieve victory. The IRGC commander was the speaker of the event, who blasted Israel, saying that this time the situation has changed.
This is the first time that Israel's shipping and aviation industries are disrupted. This is the first time that Israel's capital is being showered by missiles every day. This is the first time that all Zionists are in shelters.
At the end of this gathering, a statement was also read out to wrap up the demands of the Iranians from the international bodies regarding the crimes committed by Israel.
Over 200 people, including women and children, have been killed in recent Israeli attacks on the Gaza Strip, while millions of people across the world have taken to the streets to condemn the Israeli aggression. The international bodies are still keeping quiet. Human Abedi, Tehran.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EM.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of a speech delivered on May 7th, 2021 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution on the occasion of the International Al-Quds Day. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, in his speech on the occasion of International Al-Quds Day, referring to the change in the balance of power in favor of Islamic world and Palestine, emphasized, I tell you with confidence the downward movement of the Zionist regime has started and will not stop.
Today, hope of achieving victory is stronger than ever. Today, the balance of power has swung in favor of the Palestinians. The Zionist enemy has become weaker year after year, while its army, which used to describe itself as the army which will never be defeated, has turned into an army which will never taste victory after its debacle in the 33-day war in Lebanon and its experiences in 22-day and 8-day wars. As for its political condition, it has been forced to hold 4 elections in the space of 2 years. In terms of security as well, it continuously tastes defeat. Moreover, the increasing desire among Jews to emigrate from that land has become a source of embarrassment for that overconfident regime.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
Its serious endeavor to normalize relations with a few Arab countries with the assistance of the US is another sign of the decline of that regime. Of course, this will not help that regime in any way either. Tens of years ago, it established relations with Egypt, but since then it has become much weaker and much more vulnerable. Therefore, will the normalization of relations with a few weak and small countries be able to help that regime? Of course, those countries will not benefit from the relations either, as the Zionist regime will transgress against their properties and their land, and it will promote corruption and insecurity in their countries. Of course, these truths should not make others forget about their heavy duty.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah, all praises to Allah. Praises to Allah, all praises to Allah.